Hi, this is Jim Glickman, Chief Marketing Officer at Hilco Valuation Services, and you are listening to the Brand Lab Series podcast from AE Marketing Group.
Learn from today's most innovative brands and observe how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Welcome to the Brand Lab Series from AE Marketing Group.
Hi, everyone. It's Brian Walker, along with my co-host, Natalie Piles. We're excited to have you with us. This is episode 13 of the Brand Lab Series podcast, where each week we broadcast from 1871 and explore today's most innovative brands alongside today's most insightful executives and entrepreneurs. Hi, Natalie.
Hey, Brian. How are things at 1871?
Very busy as always. I'm excited to be inside the new podcast studio today, but I'm even more excited to talk with Jim Higley, the Chief Development and Marketing Officer at Camp Kesem. We're going to talk about nonprofit branding. So with that said, let's enter the Brand Lab. Welcome, Jim. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm super excited that we could chat today. For those of our listeners who may not be familiar with Camp Kesem, could we start by having you share a little bit more about the brand with the audience?
Absolutely. Hey, Brian. Hey, Natalie. Great to be here. I have to first start by saying I just realized we're episode 13, so I hope this isn't like a bad luck episode for you, but I'll give you my best to give you lots of insight on Camp Kesem, and I'm happy to be here. So, yeah, Camp Kesem is just a really awesome nonprofit. It's the only nonprofit in the country that supports children touched by a parent's cancer. So specifically what I mean by that is we provide support services to children who have lost a parent to cancer, have a parent who is currently undergoing treatment, or who have a parent who's a survivor. It's a population in the United States of a little over 3 million children. And candidly, it's a super underserved population. There really aren't any national organizations that support them. But more importantly, it's a population that I think people forget about. As a cancer survivor myself, I'm 11 years post all of my cancer journey, but I had little kids at the time. And in retrospect, and in knowing a lot of people in the cancer communities, or people who have dealt with the, you know, cancer storyline, I think a lot of times we think, you know, our kids are resilient and or they don't pick up on a lot of things. And the reality is kids pick up on everything. And kids, unfortunately, though, a lot of times, especially when they're dealing with heavy issues like a parent's illness, they internalize that stuff because they don't have the emotional intelligence to know kind of how to process their feelings and process, you know, what's going on in their head. So we play a really important role. Our flagship program is really fun. It's called Camp Kesem. It's where we provide free summer camping experiences to these children. This summer, we'll provide support, free camp to over 6,000 kids, over 90 weeks of camp at over 80 campsites around the country, all free, all basically provided through like this army of passionate college students who volunteer year round to provide our support services.
You want to talk a little bit more about the college tie-in and a little bit and your army of volunteers, but what I think is interesting about Camp Kesem is I know it's been around for almost 15 years, but I sense that you've had a lot of explosive growth just within the last few years. And I constantly now, I just saw a Chicago Tribune feature on you. I know you were recently recognized with an IRIS award. You seem to be everywhere now. And talk a little bit about how you're able to replicate and scale so rapidly.
You're right. We have seen really explosive growth in the last 4 to 5 years. The organization was founded 15 years ago at Stanford University by a grad student at the time who had a lot of camping experience as a child, understood the importance and the benefits of camping to children's kind of emotional health and self-esteem and building a whole bunch of fantastic character skills. And the organization during the first 10 years kind of grew organically, kind of more word of mouth, friend, you know, college friend to college friend. And we had a handsome rate of growth, but really it's just been in the last 5-6 years that our growth has been rather explosive. We're growing at a pace of about 20 to 30% a year, year over year. We now have over 80 chapters around the country. We're opening anywhere from 10 to 12 new college chapters each year, and each of our individual chapters are required to grow by 20% a year in terms of the number of campers that they are able to support. So the need is just so great, and so growth is an important part of our model. In answer to your question, like how do we do it? I guess, you know, a few different things. First of all, we have an incredible leadership team. Jane Saccaro is our CEO, and she took the reins of the organization about 5 years ago. And she comes from a strong business consulting background, and she looks, you know, she looks at all things through the lens of scalability and quality. And she's brought an incredible level of leadership to the organization to really support and guide the organization to, I guess, first and foremost, put in place really strong operating guidelines and principles that we use to run and manage and launch all of our chapters. We have an incredible team of full-time staff who work year-round to both support new chapters that are opening at various universities around the country, you know, identify, select, and support, and then more importantly, on the supporting side, really train these college students and really give them, in my mind, it's like a master's course in running a small business. They are managed, they're managed very closely, but given a lot of room to make their own decisions and be accountable for their own actions. So we have some very strong systems in place to manage that growth and monitor that growth and assure the quality of service to the children we support. On the other side, you know, all that's nice to have, but you need money. You need the funds to do it. And we've been extremely fortunate over the last several years to have been the beneficiary of some fantastic ongoing sustainable funding from both corporations, foundations, and a lot of individual donors who support us year over year. We receive no federal funding, nothing like that. It all comes from private donations. So if you were to step on the sidelines and observe our growth, it's a pretty amazing success story, all attributable to just an amazing team of leadership at the organization. And truly, our secret sauce are these college student leaders who make it happen. I mean, and these are the people who really provide the important services to these children.
So, Natalie, it's pretty interesting to hear Jim talk about all that because it reminds me a little bit of our conversation with UCAN CEO Tom Vandenberg back in episodes 7 and 8 when we were talking about looking at the nonprofit through, first and foremost, the business lens and putting in place the right operations and the right team to be able to be successful, which I know is something that some nonprofits struggle a little bit with, where they spend so much time focusing on the mission that they don't get the business side of the house right. So that's interesting.
Right. Yeah, I remember that interview.
We're spending a lot of time internally and very thoughtfully applying so much of the research done by Jim Collins in Good to Great, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you guys are familiar with. And it really motivates us because A, it confirms we think we're on the right path in terms of running this like a business and being a great organization, regardless of the fact that we're a nonprofit. We are committed to becoming and evolving into, you know, a greater organization through very strong discipline in everything we do. And if you were to look at our employee base, you know, we have a little over 20 employees on our national staff, and the vast majority of them are in their 20s. And obviously, I'm old enough to be all of their parent. And it's pretty exciting as, you know, someone from my generation to step back and look at the experience all of us are receiving in really being part of this journey in building a truly great organization. And we're not only serving Camp Kesem and its mission really well, I think we're really providing an incredible training ground for our staff and for all of our volunteers for future opportunities for them as they mature and move into other sectors in the business world.
So, Jim, how do you integrate marketing and development in order to ensure Camp Kesem's success?
So I think, you know, truthfully, I come from a stronger marketing background than development. I don't really consider myself a deal guy. I consider myself a connector of people guy with a real strong emphasis on the marketing side of it. And so in terms of how I integrate and how we integrate those two areas, I focus more on helping people and organizations that I work with. I focus on helping them connect to the organization. And we do that in a number of different ways. Obviously, the preferable way is like a face-to-face meeting. And so we've worked very hard at how we present ourselves in our, all of our messaging. And then that applies to everything else we do in terms of how we present ourselves into the external world through our social media, through our events, through all of our messaging that we push out at a corporate level, at a national level, and then through 80 different chapters. And I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge we have is we effectively have, you know, 80 some subsidiaries, all run by college students, all who have their own mouthpiece in terms of messaging. And so there's a lot of concerted effort to coordinate the same messaging, the same look, the same visuals across the board. So for me, it all starts with messaging. It all starts with creating an environment where people and organizations feel an emotional connection to the cause. And if we're successful doing that on the development side, there really is not even a need for an ask. The ask, the monetary ask or whatever the you know, the hope end result is, it comes usually more naturally.
That's interesting, Jim. One of the things that you've talked a little bit about is this army of college volunteers. And what fascinates me about that, and you just talked about how they have their own mouthpiece in certain ways as you disperse across the country. And knowing that they're kind of the ones on the front lines of delivering that camp experience, and knowing that college kids naturally will turn over when they graduate, talk about how you and the leadership team ensure like a consistent culture and experience, and how do you train the college kids to have such a great impact on the kids that are coming to camp?
So I guess breaking that down into a couple components, how do we sustain the culture? I mentioned earlier our professional staff who is charged with the training and oversight of all of our chapters. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. So we have a team, they're titled program directors. And these are typically young professionals who are 1 to 3 years out of college, who spend the vast majority of their year on the road, going chapter to chapter, doing face-to-face training with all these college students. And they have weekly communications as well via, you know, telephones or Google Hangouts or Skype. And so we maintain a very strong connection with our college student leaders. And of course, we have over 3,000 college student leaders, but breaking that down, each individual chapter has an executive board. So it's a smaller group of people, say 6 to 8 people, who are really charged with running their own chapters. So our own staff works with, for the most part, that core team on a weekly basis. And that's where the training, the oversight, the awareness of everything we're trying to do and the measuring of the success at the chapter levels takes place. And along with that comes a lot of, you know, the fun stuff too. That's where a lot of friendships are formed. That's where a lot of, you know, excitement takes place. It's not just business, it's passion. This is a very passionate mission and which translates to passionate people, which translates to, passion in terms of their interactions. So there is very strong touch points every single week at the school, at the college level. In addition to that, we have a lot of face-to-face gatherings. We have a lot of opportunities for getting together. The biggest one we do is once a year we hold what we call our National Leadership Summit, which is held in November, kind of after all the schools have received what we refer to as their fall training, which is kind of their big kind of new cycle of new training materials. Then we bring together 500 college student leaders from around the country, kind of, you know, typically the main directors of every chapter. We bring them together for a 3 or 4 day retreat, and it's kind of takes on a revival kind of atmosphere. It's a very fun, upbeat leadership event where we cover not only a lot of important training materials, but we really have a lot of fun and get these kids super energized for what they do. So in addition to that, we do a lot of outreach via social media. We have a lot of touch points throughout the year, on a week-to-week basis with our students. We use a lot of internal video work to motivate and connect with each other. We work extremely hard to maintain a very real, passionate culture between the national office and all the chapters. And I think we're pretty successful at it.
So Jim, talk about how Camp Kesem has harnessed the power of social media to raise awareness and ultimately raise money.
probably the biggest example of that was last December, Giving Tuesday, just to show the power of our organization with social media and how strong we are. And this, you know, this potentially taps into like some marketing conversation. But we went into Giving Tuesday last year. Really, it was last year was kind of our very first concerted effort to try to do something, you know, as a national organization with some cohesiveness and a lot of fun. And we went into it with an expectation, a wild expectation of hopefully raising $100,000 on that day, which was like 20 times what we had earned, raised the year before. And we went into it holding our breath, and went out of it raising over $500,000 in a day. And we were the number one nonprofit fundraiser on our merchant bankers website. So my point in all this is our connectivity via social media and our ability to use technology is really strong, and we're quite good at it.
Yeah, that is very impressive. Jim, can you tell us your favorite Camp Kesem story?
Oh my goodness. That's equivalent to asking any parent their favorite story about being a parent, which is impossible to answer. In all honesty, my favorite story varies day by day. And I can honestly say for the couple years I've been at Camp Kesem, I think there's probably not been a day that hasn't gone by that I haven't had a favorite story. There's something every single day that pulls at my heart. What I can tell you kind of in a more umbrella perspective, though, in answer to that question, is several times a year, and this takes place at our national board meeting or at the leadership summit, which I talked about earlier, where we bring all of our college student leaders together. At those large events like that, we have a tradition of holding something that we call a family panel, and it's about an hour long where we bring in a panel comprised of both parents of our campers and campers. And these campers might range anywhere from 6 years old to 17 years old. And we have a moderated session with them where we both ask them questions about their experience with Kesem and seek their wisdom and advice for improving Kesem. And I think as I kind of reflect over the many family panels that I have seen, and I'm pretty confident I speak for just about everyone who's part of the Kesem family, there's like nothing more powerful than that moment, because you realize what you're doing. You realize what the cause is doing, and you realize all of the, you know, pressure and stress and time that you invest, and sometimes maybe question, you realize the value of it. And you realize you realize the end result of what your collective efforts with an incredible team of people is doing. So if you absolutely force me to pinpoint a favorite story, it would most definitely be experiencing any one of those family panels.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because it's amazing when brands actually directly talk to, meet, and ask and listen to those that they serve. I'm sure there's a range of emotions in those type of conversations, both from incredible highs to maybe the occasional tear. What's interesting is we've talked a lot in the podcast about all your rapid growth and some of your success. I know you blew the doors off of Giving Tuesday. I know you recently were very successful with your annual gala here in Chicago. There has to be a couple of bumps along the way. Can you think of one that maybe caught you guys off guard, or was a little bit, didn't go quite according to plan? And how'd you overcome that?
Well, first of all, as you know, there's bumps every day. I mean, every day is filled with various bumps. That's, as my dad always just say, that's why they call it work. But you mentioned our recent national event, and we hold four different events around the country, fundraising events, but our largest one currently does take place in Chicago, which is where I'm based. And it's a relatively new event. We're actually only in our second year as an adults only, you know, benefit. We used to have in Chicago hold an event that it was more of a family event. And a couple years ago, we migrated to a more traditional evening gala type of event. So in answer to bumping in the road, ironically, it does tie into our most recent event in Chicago, which was in March of 2016. It's called the Magic Ball. And 10 weeks, and we had been working on this, you know, as any organization does, for 9-10 months. You know, it's an event that it's a 600 person sit down dinner event. And 10 weeks before the event was scheduled to take place, 2 weeks before we were scheduled to send invitations out, we got notice that our venue had gone out of business and we could not hold the event there. That was a pretty big bump in the road, because this is a huge income generator for us. And also one that, you know, putting the money aside, one that has our name all over it. So, you know, just back to the branding and the messaging, there were so many aspects of this that were overwhelming to deal with. We had hundreds of thousands of dollars of sponsorship money tied up, you know, it had already been committed, you know, a lot of stuff. So that came out of left field. We had no knowledge that this was going to happen. And it certainly required an immediate reaction plan and a SWAT team to be put in place. And we quickly strategized, myself and our kind of our executive team, we strategized along with leadership from our board. And out of that naturally evolved this can-do approach. You know, everyone was like 100% committed that we were going to make this not only happen, but we're going to make it better and more fantastic than we had ever dreamed. And it kind of it created this incredible atmosphere over a couple weeks. And again, thanks to that, and thanks to an amazing event planner that we had already, you know, been working with, we were able to somehow magically find what we really considered the perfect venue at the Fairmont Hotel in downtown Chicago. The event went off without a hitch. I mean, we had to change a ton of the programming in the final weeks. We went into it, you know, with like crazy expectation or hope of raising anywhere from $750,000 to $800,000. And we raised over $1 million that night. So that would, I'd have to say, was definitely a bump in the road that I would like not to experience again. But that said, kind of like anytime people go through tragedies, you know, as a community, it does pull you together. And it was definitely an event that taught us a lot about our potential and our strength as an organization.
That's a great story. I just ran into Todd Connor, the CEO of the Bunker Labs, who we had on episode 3. And we were chatting about, they just did their annual event. That's a nonprofit as well. And I always find it interesting how when you show up as an attendee, you think, wow, this event is so great. But you never realize how much goes into making those events happen. And you never see so much of the stress that sometimes goes on behind the scenes, making sure that they go off without a hitch. So that's a good story, Jim. And that just about wraps up episode 13 of this week's Brand Lab Series podcast. I'd like to thank our guest, Jim Higley, for joining us. Before we go, Jim, though, I'd love for you to let all of our listeners know how they could get involved with Camp Kesem.
Real simple. Go to our website, which is Camp Kesem, CampKesem.org. And there you can first and foremost find out information about how to register a child anywhere in the country for one of our free summer camps. That's the most important thing. And I would urge anyone who's listening to this, if your family directly can't benefit it from our services, stop and think for a second about a family you undoubtedly know who has a child that's been touched by their parents' cancer, and share our information with them. That's the most important thing people can do. Beyond that, if there's other interest levels, the website has everything that will help your listeners understand more about our cause.
Thanks, Jim.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us in the Brand Lab today and invite you back next Tuesday as we continue our journey of today's most innovative brands as we learn how they empower employees, engage consumers, design products, and co-create experiences together. Until next time, to learn more about Camp Kesem, visit campkesem.org. That is CampKesem.org. To learn more about Jim, visit his website at bobbleheaddad.com. To listen to our other Brand Lab Series podcast episodes, visit iTunes, Google Play, or brandlabseries.com. Follow us on Twitter at Brand Lab Series. And if you have any questions or ideas for a future Brand Lab Series podcast, email us at info@brandlabseries.com.